We are talking with Eric Gladys, who was formerly of Citizen Vagram here in Seattle and now is down in Boulder, Colorado with Free Speech TV. How are you today, Eric?
Pretty good, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
Excellent.
Hey, we got a big event coming up here in Seattle that you are involved with from afar. The World Trade Organization's coming here. And you've been really key in, you and Free Speech TV have been really key in working with independent media and coverage of this event and other events. And I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners, start out maybe with what Free Speech TV is and then go into your role with the upcoming World Trade Ministerial and independent media.
Okay, just a quick rundown. Free Speech TV is a part-time national cable television network. We distribute 4 hours of progressive programming, anything, you know, from human rights to gay and lesbian programming, labor, the environment, those kinds of issues we cover every week. We send out 4 hours on tape, actually, at this point. We're looking to jump into satellite soon to 50 television stations around the country, and they carry the programming to our audiences. We reach 7 million households. The WTO event is a rare opportunity to bring together a lot of different independent media groups that are working to bring more democracy to our media system in this country. As you probably know and have talked about a lot on your program, Mike,
mm-hmm.
We're down to about 8 multinational corporations now, down from 50 when Ben Bagdikian wrote his book, The Media Monopoly. That was just in 86. Now we're down to 8 huge firms that literally dominate everything that you see and hear. So this has caused quite a bit of concern for not only media activists, but environmentalists. Labor organizers are very concerned that they're not able to get their message out. If your message doesn't help sell products, it's very hard to be heard in this cacophony of commercial carpet bombing, as some people have called it. So, the WTO is coming to Seattle, and everybody's heard about it, and we're just all blown away by the fact that, you know, the New York Times is reporting that, like, 50,000 activists will be descending upon Seattle. And when I was there, I remember when Newt Gingrich came to town, there were maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people that, got on the streets, and that was just an enormous showing of people. I mean, it seemed
yeah.
like more people than I'd ever seen.
That was an incredible event. I remember that.
And that was like 5,000 people, so, you know, you can just imagine what trouble, what fun will be caused, you know, with 50,000 people coming to town. Well, what a lot of independent media groups, Free Speech TV, Deep Dish Television, Paper Tiger TV, and some of the local groups, you mentioned Citizen Vagram, Seattle Independent Media Coalition, a lot of different organizations started to brainstorm about how can we make sure that the voices of these protesters who have some very serious complaints about the globalization process that's underway, we know that NBC will cover the broken windows that'll happen, probably will happen, but will the real messages about, you know, the Jubilee 2000 campaign to cancel the debt of the poorest third world countries, will that message get out? How can we help get that message out and break past the corporate media blockade, really? And the activity on the media activist side has been just as phenomenal. We've got probably 15 video crews that are going to be coming to Seattle or that are already based in Seattle that are going to head out every day with their cameras and microphones and cover these events that, as we know, probably won't be given full legitimate attention by the corporate media. Whose interests are also vested with the interests of the WTO. So to get a new perspective out, all these people are coming to town. They're going to be producing 30 minutes a day of television. And if you've ever produced television with no budget, 30 minutes a day, you can understand that's a massive undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will it be produced, but it's also going to be fed to a satellite every day, beginning the day after the first day, because all the film will come in and it'll be edited together and sent up the morning after. People will be staying up all night editing. So for 5 days in a row, we're going to send up 30 minutes of fresh feed from the streets up on satellite, and we're encouraging people all around the country to contact their public television stations, their community and educational access stations, and getting them to downlink these feeds and make sure that people can see what's really groundbreaking. And I this number of people. You know, I mean, if you're around in the 60s, you may have seen this kind of thing, but people who are of my generation just haven't seen this kind of thing happen before. We want people to know what's going on.
Right. Now, this seems like, in so many ways, it's an incredible undertaking of a grassroots response to this corporate globalization effort, as you say, that's been going on for years now. Where does the funding for this type of response come from?
You know, people are donating their time and their labor, and I know that there's been some fundraising efforts that have taken place. I'm not sure how successful they've been. I mean, this all kind of came to a head, you know, within the last few months. And if you've ever worked with foundations trying to get foundation support, they really, you know, require a lot of, you know, planning time to be able to get funding out. I think some individuals have stepped forward. I know for the satellite uplink, which does cost hard cash, you can't just volunteer that.
Mm-hmm.
That money has come from Deep Dish Television's context, people who want and have been working to see this kind of decentralized alternative network for communications really come to fruition. So they've stepped up with some money. But really, most of it is labor. The people that are working on this project, there's a fellow from Sydney who is just in Boulder out for some work at the university here. He is, probably a leading expert in computer code programming. He's working as we speak right now to develop a website where people will be able to check in and see up-to-the-minute coverage, almost live coverage. As soon as the tapes come in from the street, they're going to be put up on the web. And he's making it possible so that all the people have to do who aren't computer savvy at all, you know, is just fill out a simple form on this website, and boom, you know, you've got video clips, audio clips, still photos, and text stories. You can't, you know, if you had to pay for that, you'd have to have enormous amounts of money to make an event like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But people know that this is important. You know, people are more than just, you know, the amount of money they receive on their paycheck every week or every month, if they even receive a paycheck. And when the numbers of people are moving, you know, toward this kind of critical mass in Seattle, the amount of generosity is just enormous. I know the Speakeasy Cafe is providing an enormous infrastructure of support for the internet mm-hmm. activities, and you know, they're a business, they're trying to make it, and but they just, you know, they recognize that this is really important, and the word needs to get out, and they have skills that they can bring to bear.
That's great. Now, are there specific websites that you can tell people to go to that they can connect into these feeds?
Yeah, the website's going to be very important. If you're connected to the internet at all, it's really important that you spread the word about this website, because anybody in the world will be able to see what's going on. But also, if they live in the continental U.S., they will be able to get information on how to tell their public television station that they should downlink these television feeds so that more people who can't come to Seattle will actually see what's going on. The site that's being designed right now is indymedia.org. So it's indymedia.org. And that's pretty much where you're going to be able to see everything that's going on. This is, of course, being generated by the Seattle Independent Media Center, a group of, a lot of people who are really pulling this off.
Yeah. And I was very encouraged by a lot of the people that, for instance, have been offering up space and such, have not only seen this as an opportunity to get out independent media's voice during the WTO ministerial, but also are looking at it as a long-term solution and response to the corporate media.
Yeah, if you can imagine a group of people that can come together over big events and really get the word out in a way that makes sense and that really hits people in a way. I mean, the WTO impacts the air that you breathe. It impacts the food that you eat, the genetic organization of the food that will be designed in the future. So these are really important issues for a lot of people. And, again, you know, the eight multinational corporations that dominate all the media, you know, Disney, Viacom, Westinghouse, all those groups, these people are actually making money off of the same kinds of processes that these protesters are coming to yell about in Seattle. So it's critical that there be some kind of alternative point of view that is presented, you know, namely the point of view of the activists. So yeah, imagine, you know, in August, I believe in the year 2000, there's going to be a couple of presidential conventions, one in Los Angeles, one in Philadelphia. You've seen the kind of infomercial pap that you get on the corporate channels when those kinds of things are covered. Imagine a center like this that can travel to Los Angeles, travel to Philadelphia, and really pull together some coverage that makes sense to the people who really own this country, you know, the citizens of this country, not just the consumers who are being asked to swallow this, you know, but biogenetically engineered, you know, stuff that they're churning out. And it's critical. I mean, for all the important issues that face people, it's critical that we develop these different ways of communicating, because when we know that when the powerful, you know, the First Amendment's a really good thing to point to in this kind of an argument, because, you know, only when people are informed can they use their power as a citizen, as an owner of this country, to make things right. You know, that's why the First Amendment was put in place, you know, to make sure that we could see what the powerful were up to. You know, people have to have the right to, you know, have to have a strong, free media system in place. Well, we don't. We have the powerful now owning all of the media. So, you know, people are learning about this, and some people have known about it for a while and been working on it for a long time. I know that, you know, your program at KCMU. There's KGNU here in Boulder, so I get confused. There's a lot of, you know, people that have been working on this stuff for forever and ever, and then more people are coming on board, and they realize that information is power. And if you know what's going on, you can do something about it. If all you know is that, Boulder example, JonBenet Ramsey, you know, is going through her grave one more time, trying to figure out if that's all you hear about, then naturally, you know, all you're going to think about is what can I do to distract myself, amuse myself, to, you know, I mean, how are you going to take an active role in deciding your future if you don't have the real information about what really does affect your lives? So right. It's important. This kind of work's important.
Yeah, you actually, when producing Citizen Vagrom, had a comment that you would repeat a lot. I believe it was Jefferson's quote about information being the...
Yeah, that's a great, you know, a great line to put out there. And it's true, you know. I mean, information is the currency of democracy. We put that at the beginning of every program. And then we'd follow that up with a quote from Errol Vagrom, the guru behind the project itself, saying that you have to have information to do something about it.
Very good.
Critical.
All right. Now, obviously, as we said before, this efforts like the grassroots Independent Media Center and such are being put together with a lot of people's energy, but also require, you know, a certain amount of money to help them, you know, stay afloat and get things going. And I understand you guys, Free Speech TV, are involved with a fundraiser coming up this next week?
Well, it's actually not a fundraiser. It is a way for us to, at Free Speech TV, to help the Indie Media Center get kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
We are having an event that's free and open to the public. We're calling it Just Desserts. This is going to be Thanksgiving evening, so this will be, you know, after you've had your big turkey dinner, come on down to the Seattle Independent Media Center for a free film screening. We've got two films that are going to be screened. We're going to have some refreshments there as well for your dessert part. But this is, we say it's open to all comers who have not been offered a seat at the WTO Feast. So it's a way to get, you know, the independent media folks who are coming to town together with the activists who are already working in town together, you know, before the big work begins on Monday the 29th,
mm-hmm.
you know, give folks a chance to come out, you know, get to know each other and have a good time. We're going to show two great films, actually. One of them is a film that we presented as a part of our Just Solutions Campaigning for Human Rights series, which was in commemoration with the 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights last year. It's called A Pig's Tale, and it really does show what can happen when a country like Haiti, in this case, is not allowed to determine their own economic future. There was a breakout in a staple of their economy is the pig. You know, they mm-hmm. eat these Creole pigs. It's also part of their culture and their religion. Well, these pigs got sick, and USAID, an international organization based in this country, said that, okay, well, what you have to do is you have to kill all those pigs. Well, you know, turns out that, you know, they can't eat if all the pigs are killed. But the USAID had another plan. They decided to bring in Iowa hogs so that the Haitians could pay the folks in Iowa to have their pigs. It turns out, of course, that it costs more money to feed an Iowa hog than it does a Haitian. So it was devastating. But this is a kind of an example of what happens when global economic policy is taken out of a human context, and there are real human rights implications when these things happen. There's also going to be a world premiere film taking place that night's double feature, Pressure Point by Anna Pascal. This will be the first time it's ever been shown. It basically talks about how the multilateral agreement on investments was defeated by the kinds of activists who are coming to Seattle. You know, it shows that you really can stop a big, ugly monster if a lot of people get together and do something about it. I'll just give a time and a
that would be great
place
yeah.
on that. It's going to be starting at 7:30 p.m. on Thanksgiving night, the November 25th. And the address of the center, and you should stop by and say hello to us, is 1415 3rd Avenue. That's between Pike and Union. So if folks could make it out to that, that'd be really great.
All right, 1415 3rd Avenue. All right. So real quickly, because we're just about out of time, looking at the bigger picture here, now Free Speech TV, you guys have been distributing your stuff via tape and on the Internet, but you've got an effort going to get stuff up on satellite to different cable companies, I believe, as well. Is that correct?
That's right. We're in the running right now for a full-time progressive satellite channel. The government... in its infinite wisdom, has decided to place public interest obligations on the direct broadcast satellite industry. Those are those little pizza-sized dishes like DirecTV, Dish Network, that you know you can mm-hmm. get all, you know, hundreds and hundreds of channels directly from your dish at your home. So the government said that they have to give away 4% of their channel capacity to public interest programmers, non-commercial informational programmers. And this is just the kind of opportunity that a low-budget operation like Free Speech TV needs to get on the air so that we can start delivering this programming 24 hours a day. Right now we're only able to do 4 hours a week, and we have to send out tapes. So it's really only when we can hook up with a Deep Dish TV, for example, and that we can do this kind of live coverage of a WTO protest. But if we are able to get a satellite channel, a full-time channel, then this kind of thing can be more regularly seen by a lot of different people. So we're working really hard to convince these folks that this is the kind of thing that folks really want to see. If people want more information about any of this stuff, about Free Speech TV, let me give out the website.
That would be great.
It's www.freespeech.org. And if you search around there, you can find out what we're trying to do and how you can help us get a satellite channel.
All right. Now, for the people that might not have the connections to the Internet, which actually, it's the bulk of the country doesn't, is there a phone number they can call or an address that they can mail for more info?
We have a toll-free line for information. You can get on our mailing list and tell us what you think about what we're doing. It's a toll-free 888-550-FSTV, as in Free Speech TV.
Gotcha. Very good. Okay, any other last points you'd like to get in?
Well, I just hope, folks come out for the festivities and don't be scared off by all these reports about the dangerous activists coming to the streets. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that on Monday, on the 29th, there's going to be a human chain built around the opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
Which will be great. And then 30th, of course, will be just absolute madness. I mean, if just for the spectacle alone, you should come out, take off work, especially if you're a barista. I understand the coffee baristas are going to be calling in sick to really shut the city down. I mean, I guess that's one way to do it. But if you want to call in
great.
Sick and come
no lattes
down,
that day.
think about it. I mean, if you want to hit them where it hurts, I mean, me too. I'm going to have to, carry something around on my back or something. But come on down and have fun, and come down to the media center and say hello and see what's going on. This is really, for lack of a better word, a people's media. So you're definitely invited to check it out and help out.
Yeah, people need to remember when they're seeing these ridiculous headlines about the kooks and zanies out in the streets. These are your friends and neighbors.
That's right.
And
you know how kooky they are.
Yeah.
You know exactly how zany they are.
So, just all the more reason that we all belong there.
That's right. Join in the fun. It'll
exactly.
be a lot of fun. And maybe they'll listen to us. You know, maybe they'll say, hey, you know what? It's not right to give away the sovereign powers of the United States of America to some unaccountable, anti-democratic trading organization like the WTO. You know, maybe they'll actually, you know, have to listen if enough people show up.
Yeah, yeah. So as long as we all put our voices together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, hey, it's been good talking with you.
Great talking to you. Thanks for calling, Mike.
You bet. And hopefully we'll connect up with you when you're in town for the WTO.
Yeah, hope to see you there.
All right.